Airport. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of the contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being, he is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Puran, as it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anupasya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita 5 Adilila chapter 5 verses 41 to 48. Deha dehi vibhedo yam neshvare vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know the science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demonic, they also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love, that is, bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna. With conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme, he should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, and his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help transfer one to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma, but a pure devotee directly takes the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental, non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and live happily in this material world he will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Omagyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Naminne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadyare Shakarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Every scripture that we have has something called a Paribhasa Sutra. Understand? Sutra means like a verse. Paribhasa means one verse which encompasses everything. The most essential verse. The most important verse. And in the Bhagavad Gita, this verse is said to be the Paribhasa Sutra. In the Bhagavatam, the Paribhasa Sutra is explained, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the Supreme Lord, this is the Paribhasa Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Brahma Samhita, the Paribhasa Sutra, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha, that the Supreme Lord is Krishna and he has a body which is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Paribhasa Sutra, Sada Hridaya Kandare Spuratu Va Sachinandana, take Lord Chaitanya and install him within the innermost chambers of your heart. This is the goal of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also has a Paribhasa Sutra. Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Jnana. You should render devotional service to Krishna, which is free from all contamination. And Bhagavad Gita, Paribhasa Sutra, Manmana Bhava Madhapakto. Just engage your mind in always thinking of me. So the whole Bhagavad Gita is so that one can come to this point. If one comes to this point where one's mind is always thinking of Krishna. One devotee, he came to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, sometimes I forget Krishna. Prabhupada said, no, you always forget Krishna. And sometimes you remember him. That is the situation, that how much is Krishna actually on our mind. We can be doing a kirtan, but we can be thinking of ourselves. We can be reading Krishna's words, but we can be thinking of ourselves. We can be in front of the deity, but we can be thinking of ourselves. Today, this picture is here, I was remembering. One time I was in a room, and he had a beautiful picture of Krishna Balaram like this. And I was going back and forth for 2 hours in front of the picture, chanting. And after two hours, I realized that every time I was walking to the picture, I could have seen Krishna Balaram, but instead I was looking at the glass and my reflection. And then I realized you can be in front of Krishna, but your mind can be somewhere completely different. So where is the mind? Where is the mind means where is the heart? If the heart is with Krishna, then the mind will be on Krishna. So this is a very, very special verse. Some of you have been to Vrindavan, no? If you go to Vrindavan, there's many amazing places. So one of the amazing places in Braj is Govardhan. One day everyone will go. So Govardhan, as we know, is a hill. And around the hill, people do parikrama. So they walk around Govardhan Hill. It's how many? 23 kilometers, something. So, different people do parikrama in different ways. One Some people do parikrama by walking around. It takes about 6 hours if you walk around. Some people also do something called dandavat parikrama. You seen pictures? They bow down, and however far their body goes, they go to that spot, they stand up, then they bow down again. And then however far their body goes, they stand up and bow there. So they go all the way round by doing dandavats. So if you do like that, if you're tall like me, you have an advantage. But if you do like that, it could take you some weeks or months. But do you know there are some people in Govardhan who do dandavat, but what they do is they go down, but they go down 108 times. So you go dandavat, then you stand up on the same spot. Then you go down again. Then you stand up again, like that, 108 times. And then after 108 times, you step forward the length of your body. And then you do 108 times again. And they go all the way around like that. That can take you 10 years. It can take you 15 years. So one time the devotees were in Govardhan and they met one person who was doing this. So they asked him, why did you do it? How you decided to do like this? He said, I'll do this for the rest of my life. So they said, why? He said, one day I was reading Bhagavad Gita and I was reading chapter 9, text 34, the verse we're reading today. And he said, I was reading this verse by Krishna. And in this verse, Krishna says, Manmana, engage your mind in thinking of me. And I thought, I will never be able to always think of Krishna. Then Krishna says, Mad Bhakto, become my devotee. But I thought, I don't have any devotion. How I will ever be able to become Krishna's devotee? Then Krishna says in the verse, Madhyaji, worship me. But I looked at myself and I thought, I don't have any purity. How I will worship Krishna? But then Krishna says, Mam Namaskuru, bow down to me. And I thought, I can't do the first three things, but I can bow down to Krishna. So let me dedicate the rest of my life to bowing down to Krishna. That's amazing, huh?
Amazing.
How many of us read the verse and thought like that? That's amazing. So he read this verse and he said, I can't do any of these things, but the one thing I can do is bow down to Krishna. Therefore, for the rest of my life, I just bow down to Krishna. And that's what he does every single day. He bows down to Krishna. The point is that yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. Somehow or other, one has to think about Krishna. One's mind has to become absorbed in Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he says in one prayer, yuvatinam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvato yatha mano bhi ramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvai. He says, just as the minds of young girls naturally go towards young boys, and just as the minds of young boys naturally go towards young girls, may one day my mind as naturally go towards you, Krishna. You don't have to force someone to think. Like, it's just the mind is going there to the opposite gender. So Rupa Goswami is praying that one day may my remembrance of you become as natural as that, that we don't have to force ourselves, isn't it? One time someone came to the manor, our temple in Japa time. He was a new person. So, you know, when new people come in the Japa period, this can be a little confusing, you know? It's like... So I could see he was a little confused. So then I went up to him and I said, yeah, this is the temple. Every morning we do meditation. And our philosophy is very simple. Chant and be happy. And then we looked around at all the devotees in the room. Like one devotee was sleeping. Another devotee was like, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Another devotee was like walking around Tulsi like 100 miles per hour trying to stay awake. And then I look, and then we looked at each other, and he said, "These guys don't look so happy." No? And then I said, "You have to struggle with the mind a little bit because the mind is very difficult. So therefore, they're trying to concentrate. So there's a little bit of struggle, but eventually, when the mind gets focused on Krishna, then it becomes very joyful." So that is our prayer. Queen Kunti is also praying. Dvai me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvahatat adha gangevo gamadanvati. I remember this verse because just 1 week ago we were in the Ganga in Mayapur. Ganga is very dangerous. I'm warning you before you go. Because when you go into the Ganga, when you first go in, it's very like the Ganga kind of pushes you out. So you go, but it's very difficult to go in. But once you get to a certain point in the Ganga, it's not pushing you out. There's an undercurrent. So once you get to a certain point, if you're not a good swimmer, you're in trouble. Because once you get to a certain point, the Ganga sucks you in and then you can drown. You just go with the current. Many devotees have nearly lost their lives like that. So I was in the Ganga, I was remembering. So Queen Kunti, she prays, Gange Vogum Adanvati, that may my mind flow towards you, Krishna, as the Ganga flows towards the ocean without any hindrance or any obstacle. But still, for the mind to go to Krishna is not so easy. Like Srila Prabhupada said, we are forgetting Krishna. So in the 12th chapter, I'm going to read some verses. Krishna explains, how do we fix our mind on Him? So in text number 8 of chapter 12, Krishna says, just fix your mind on Me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in Me. Then you will live in Me always without a doubt. So there, same thing in text 8. Krishna is saying same thing what He says in text number 9:34. Isn't it? Just think of Me all the time. But someone will read this and say, but I can't think of Krishna. I'm thinking of so many other things. So then in the very next verse, what does Krishna say? My dear Arjun, if you cannot fix your mind. So we may put our hands up and say, I cannot fix my mind. Then what does Krishna say? If you cannot fix your mind upon Me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain Me. So the highest is fix your mind on Krishna. If you can't do that, then do the angas of sadhana. Do the chanting of Hare Krishna, the reading of the books, the worship of the deities, every single day. The temple president at the manor when I joined, he used to tell me, when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, get up, dress up, and show up. Hare Krishna. This is sadhana bhakti. Every single day. Sometimes you think, what's happening? Nothing's happening. It's too much struggle. It's too difficult. It's too austere. Get up, dress up, show up. This is sadhana bhakti. You have to do every single day. Just like when you're riding in a plane, then at one point the plane goes above the clouds. And when you look out of the window, it doesn't look like the plane is going very fast. But some hours later, when the plane comes below the clouds, you realize, oh my God, I reached the other side of the world. So sadhana bhakti is sometimes like that. Day to day, you think, I'm chanting, what's the difference? No difference. I'm reading, no change. I don't feel like I'm developing love for Krishna although I've been chanting. But it's imperceptible. If you do it every day with attention, with absorption, then gradually over time you will look back and see, oh my God, I've changed. I've changed as a person. So Krishna says, think of me all the time. If you can't do that, do sadhana bhakti. But someone may say, I know you're telling me, but I can't do sadhana bhakti. I can't do all of these things. Then what does Krishna say in the next verse? If you cannot practice regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. So this verse is not really for anyone in this room. Because in this room, all of you are doing sadhana bhakti. But this is very useful because many people may come to the temple and they may not be ready to take up sadhana bhakti. But Krishna is saying, if they're not ready to take up sadhana bhakti, then at least what you can do is encourage them that they should work for Krishna. What does it mean that they work for Krishna? When they work in the world, they get certain fruits, isn't it? Certain benefits, money, intelligence, influence. So we then encourage them, use that for Krishna. Therefore, yes, we had the program the other day and we encouraged everyone, make a donation, make a contribution. Once a priest, he came in front of the congregation and he said, we have to build a new church. There's good news and bad news. He said, the good news is all of the money is there. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. So we encourage people, make a donation for Krishna. Okay, you can't chant Hare Krishna, you can't practice sadhana bhakti every day, at least donate to Krishna's cause. Then you will make advancement. So when we ask people for money, actually we're doing them a favor. It's not for us. What do we want? What do we want to do with money? We just sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna, we're happy. But when they donate something for Krishna, when they give up the results of their work, they make advancement. So can you see the progression? Krishna is saying, think of me. If you can't do that, do sadhana bhakti. If you can't do that, work for me and give the results of your activities. And then Krishna says, if you can't even do that, then what does he say next? If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up the results of all your work and try to be self-situated. So here, Krishna says, if you can't donate to the temple, if you can't donate to Krishna, if you can't serve Krishna through your work, then at least do some selfless work in the world. Do some charity work. Do some philanthropic work. Do some altruistic work. Because at least by doing that, you're helping other people and you develop some detachment within your heart. So Krishna is very, very kind. He doesn't just say, remember me or go to hell. Isn't it? Some people say like that. He says, this is the ultimate. If you remember me, I will remember you. And when you remember me and I remember you, sadhavo ridayam mayam, sadhunam ridayam tvaham, you are in my heart, I am in your heart, then you will experience so much happiness. But if you can't do that, then do this. If you can't do this, then do this. And if you can't even do this, then do this. Just see how kind Krishna is, that he is giving people stepping stones by which they can achieve the ultimate goal of life, which is Mana Krishna Niveshaya, to fix your mind on Krishna. So one day remembrance of Krishna will come very, very naturally. Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki. One day remembrance of Krishna will come very, very naturally. It's said that one day the gopis were in Vrindavan. And the gopis, they were all talking. What did you dream about Krishna last night? And what did you dream about Krishna last night? So they were telling each other what they were dreaming about Krishna last night. So they were all sharing their dreams of Krishna. But Radharani was very quiet. Then they said, Radharani, what did you dream of Krishna last night? So she was quiet, saying, no, you say, what were you dreaming of Krishna last night? And then she looked at them and said, dreaming. I was thinking about Krishna all night. I couldn't even go to sleep. So this is high grade love. How can one ever imagine that you can develop such love? But step by step, bit by bit, we uncover this love for Krishna that is there. And this is the goal of life. This is the goal of the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada said, the goal of Krishna consciousness is not just to believe in Krishna. Belief in Krishna is just the beginning. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to fall madly in love with Krishna, such that you can only think of Krishna. But that is a journey, and therefore the Bhagavad Gita gives us the roadmap of how we can achieve that kind of love. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop there. If I can take some comments, questions. Yes.
Today I'll go first. See, in the process of sadhana bhakti and about fixing the mind, you explained also how it's a struggle doing japa. So I'm just like thinking, sometimes we find devotees who are very strict in their sadhana.
Mm.
But when they're leaving their bodies, they go through so much pain. Okay, you can struggle when you're a beginner. It's understandable. You're chanting and struggling. But if you're very strict in your sadhana, why when you quit your body, you'll be in so much pain? It might appear you're not in pain, but really sometimes it's so much painful that even the devotees can't, they don't even have memory of what they're doing. So why is there, if the sadhana is so strict, why is there pain at the end? They can't even be happy when they're dying.
So why do devotees undergo such painful departures from this world? There could be many answers to this. One English poet says, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Someone may look at Srila Prabhupada and say, why did he have to undergo so much pain when he left this world? You know, one doctor, he came to examine Prabhupada in the final days. And when he examined Prabhupada, he nearly fainted. He said, according to this man's medical condition, he should be crying out in pain. But what was Srila Prabhupada doing? He was just translating Bhagavatam. Because pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. A devotee may seem to undergo a painful situation, but their consciousness means that actually, we may think they're in pain, but they are actually beyond it. That could be one explanation. Another explanation is that when one takes up spiritual life and surrenders to Krishna, like we were talking yesterday, their karma stops. But Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a fan, that you may turn the switch off and then the electricity is cut. But that doesn't mean the fan stops in a moment. So sometimes what happens to devotees is that in their final days, Krishna just, whatever remnants of karma may be there, Krishna just gives it in one go, and then finally, by their last breath, they clear everything, and then they go back to Krishna. So it may just be Krishna's arrangement to get rid of the final elements of karma that may be there. The third reason why a devotee may suffer in their final days, even though they practice sadhana bhakti, is because through them, Krishna is giving us an example that even though you take up spiritual life, don't think that all difficulties will go away. And so Krishna gives us an example that, yes, even you may face difficulties like this, but look at this example of these devotees who go through this pain, but they never become affected by it. And the final thing to remember is that Krishna says, I'm trying to remember the scripture in which it said, maybe one of the Puranas, it said that at the time of death, if a devotee's pain is so acute, you know how much pain it is when you leave the body? It's described to be equal to 10,000 scorpion bites.
Scorpion bites.
Yeah. That's how painful it is when someone leaves the body. If they're in material consciousness, of course. So someone may say the experience of death is so strong that what if one cannot fix their mind on Krishna? Then Krishna says, I come within them. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. And I give that remembrance. So even though they may be affected by so much pain and not able to remember, if they dedicated their life to Krishna, then Krishna will never. Na me bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says, I'll never forget my devotee. So Krishna will come and he'll give the remembrance. He'll remember his devotee like that. So these are some points. You can say if you want, not satisfied.
Not satisfied. You see, the thing that I'm understanding all that, but just in practicality,
mm-hmm.
somebody is a very good devotee, pakka sadhana. You know, and okay, fine, he has some karma, which is there. But why when he's dying, he doesn't even have consciousness even to remember. He's like maybe in a coma, he can't even lift up his beads. There's like so much suffering.
It's like Bhishma Dev said,
when I came and I saw Shruti Dharma Prabhu in his final days, he couldn't remember things from the last day.
Mm.
He just had old memory of whatever he had previously.
Mm.
And even at that time I was thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this? He's a person who's dedicated his whole life to you.
Mm.
He can't even remember what he did yesterday, and it was so painful to see.
You see, Krishna has arranged. I give you another example. Like many devotees passed away in COVID, yeah? In COVID time. And what happened in COVID time is if you're in the hospital, no one can come and see you. So it's like you're leaving your body. And I mean, the glory of life is to have all the devotees around you. And then you die in COVID time where you're all alone. So then the devotees were saying, how is it that Krishna, you know, these devotees, they left. But then you could see it another way, that, you know, sometimes if someone is ready to go back to Godhead, but maybe some attachments are there, when they're leaving their body, if all the loved ones are around them, then maybe they begin thinking, again, those sentiments come. But maybe when you're alone in a theater, in one sense it's difficult, but in another sense, at least all those faces aren't around you. So in one sense, the remembrance of those attachments is less. And therefore it could actually facilitate someone's going back to the spiritual world. So we don't know how Krishna is arranging the whole situation. To us it can seem like this is, what kind of arrangement is this? But Krishna knows what every soul needs to maximize their remembrance and fix their mind. And so Krishna may make some arrangements which sometimes feel like, why is Krishna doing this? So Krishna's arrangements, we can't understand how it's all going on. Just like, I mean, this is a different example, but it shows the same thing. At one point they wanted to close the manor down. Right, you know the whole story. So they wanted to close the temple down. The villagers, they were saying, it's becoming too popular, it is too noisy, too many cars, we want to shut this temple down. So practically they nearly managed to shut the temple down. And the devotees were thinking, like, how Krishna allows such a thing? This devotees, so many people are coming, this is like... So then there was a long campaign. The result of the campaign was that we had all these demonstrations, all this like media publicity, and the result of it was that we had to buy all this extra land to build one road from the back so that we would not come from the village. Mm-hmm. They were trying to shut the temple down. But the net result of the whole thing was that because of the campaign, because of the media publicity, the temple became 100 times more popular. The net result of them trying to shut down the temple was that the land of the temple increased by 10 times. So we're thinking like, why is Krishna doing this? Well, there you go. Krishna wants to expand the glories, expand everything. So how we can, when Yudhisthira came to Bhishma Dev at the end of the Kurukshetra war, They looked at Bhishma Dev. They said the Pandavas had all religion, all piety, all knowledge. They had Krishna as their constant companion. They followed all Vedic injunction, and still they had to go through so much suffering. And what did Bhishma Dev say? Nahyasya kadhichit papan puman veda. No one can understand the plan of Krishna. Muyanti kavayopihi. Even if you're a learned scholar, you'll become completely bewildered. Don't try and understand Krishna. So we must understand Krishna. You know, like anyone here play chess?
Checkmate.
If you're a good chess player, you can predict 3 moves in advance. You know all the combinations. If he does this, I'll do this. If he does that, I'll do that. If you're a good chess player, you can think 3 moves in advance. If you're the best chess players in the world, like Kasparov, I used to play chess. He can think like 6 moves ahead. He knows all the permutations in his head. 6 moves ahead. Krishna is the ultimate chess player. He's thinking like 100 moves ahead. And we're thinking like, why is he moving the piece there? Well, he knows 100 moves ahead where it's all going. And then we are like, small intelligence, alpa medasha. Krishna says, you have small intelligence. How are you? Prabhupada said, don't try to understand Krishna with your tiny puppy brain. You can't. Krishna is too, he's more clever. He's too clever. So yeah, it's bewildering. But that faith must be there. Yes. Okay. The Bhanga
Pandu. No. Good, senior.
Senior.
Senior junior.
Yes.
I just thought nobody was raising hands. That's
okay. So.
No, I wanted to get a comment from Govinda's question still. Bhagavad Gita speaks about, you know, what time is auspicious and inauspicious to leave the body. But for a devotee, there's nothing to do with auspicious or not auspicious. So whether you are in pain or not in pain, it doesn't matter. For a devotee, I don't know.
For a devotee, it's... Like in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned Bhishma Dev was on the bed of arrows, right? And he was looking for auspicious time to leave the world. So generally, the auspicious time to leave the world is Uttarayana. Uttarayana means when the sun is in its ascent. So it's said in the Bhagavatam, Bhishma Dev was looking for Uttarayana before leaving the body. But what does Uttarayana mean for Bhishma Dev? Does Uttarayana mean Bhishma Dev was waiting for the sun to rise? Who is Uttara? Who is Uttara? The mother of Parikshit.
Yes.
The mother of Parikshit is called Uttara, isn't it? And Uttarayana, who appeared in Uttara's womb? Parikshit was in Uttara's womb, and who appeared in the womb to protect Parikshit? Krishna. So Chakravarti Thakur says, when it said that Bhishma Dev was waiting for Uttarayana, he was not waiting for the sun to rise. He was waiting for Krishna, who appeared in Uttara's womb, to come before him. In other words, for a devotee, they don't require any mechanical arrangement, any perfect situation. If Krishna is there, it's perfect. Even externally, it may look like so chaotic. So how we know where Krishna will appear? Krishna appears in the most... Krishna appeared at midnight. Krishna appeared in the jail. Krishna appeared when there was a huge storm going on. Krishna appears in the most seemingly unfavorable situation. So we don't know. We may see it so unfortunate, but Krishna appears sometimes.
Yes. You were talking about, you know, that the goal is to fix the mind on Krishna.
Yeah.
But Krishna gave options in chapter 12.
Yeah.
Please, you left one option, text 12.
Oh yeah, I didn't go the whole way.
Can you please explain that one? Only that one.
Only that one. Yeah. The reason I didn't is because 12. That one's a bit complicated. Yeah. That's why you're asking me.
12-12.
Different commentators understand this one in different ways. Okay then. So remember, the progression was think of Krishna. If you can't, do sadhana. If you can't, offer the results. If you can't, do charity.
Mm-hmm.
And then Krishna says, if you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge is meditation. Better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by renunciation one can attain peace of mind. So here Krishna gives three more options. If you can't do those first four, then these are three. And these three can help one to do the other things. You see, so if you can't do any of those four directly, if you do any of these things, you hear, you get some knowledge. Or if you engage in some kind of meditation, or if you renounce the fruits of action, then by doing these things, you will become more qualified to do the other direct things, like working for Krishna, doing sadhana bhakti. So it seems that in order for one to take up sadhana bhakti or some kind of direct offering of their work to Krishna, they must have done some things in the past, and therefore they're then able to take to that practice. So these are some, and different commentators classify this in different ways, but these are said to be more indirect processes. We can look at the commentary and look in more detail. I can't remember off the top of my head, but
Can you go back to Krishna if you're not thinking about Krishna, but you're thinking of Krishna as devotee? Like, for example, you still go back to Krishna if you're thinking your consciousness is like in Prabhupada or a devotee who inspires you, because Krishna is in their heart. So
yes, yeah, so Prabhupada was in a Pandal program once in Brazil, and someone put their hand up and said, so they spoke in Portuguese, so then the Prabhupada said, what did he say? So the devotee translated. And the devotee said, Prabhupada is asking that if he does not remember Krishna, but he remembers you, will he go? And Prabhupada said, that is okay. Because Krishna means Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, paraphernalia, pastimes, and devotees. So if one remembers any of these things, like here in the purport, Prabhupada was saying, Krishna, Krishna's mind, and Krishna's body are non-different. They're the same. So similarly, Krishna's devotees, in one sense, they're non-different from Krishna. So I was just, because we were driving and we went past the Swaminarayan temple, I was remembering, because once I met the Swaminarayan sadhus and I asked them, for you, which verse from the Bhagavatam is the most important verse? And you know which verse they quoted? They quoted a verse from third canto, Kapila Shiksha, and the verse says, Prashangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadhu shukrito moksha dvaram apavritam. This is for them, this is the most important verse from Bhagavatam. And what does the verse say? Prashangam ajaram pasham. If you're attached to materialistic people, this is the greatest cause of bondage. Sa eva sadhushu krito. But when you transfer your attachment to sadhus, if you become attached to a sadhu, moksha dvaram, the doors to moksha apavritam are immediately opened. So therefore, whether you're attached to Krishna or Krishna's devotee, pure devotees, it's same thing. No difference.
So the verse of today, thinking, is the number one. And number two is sadhana. So who are we to judge that there are devotees who are on the thinking platform and they don't need sadhana? Because as far as Vaidhi Bhakti goes, with minus sadhana, you think they are failures in spiritual life. But my question always, it kind of comes to my mind all the time, how can we judge anyone that because it's the sadhana is so perfection, so they are pure, and because they're not so good in sadhana, you know, they cannot think of Krishna?
Yeah. That's a very good point. I mean, this gradation is there. We have to be very careful when trying to judge other devotees because we don't know what's going on between them and Krishna. So therefore, sometimes devotees may not be as strict, they may not be as regulated, they may not be as austere, they may not know as many verses or shastra. But if they have bhakti, if they have love, then they're advanced, you know, they are... But generally, in our line, what we see is that those whose minds are already fixed on Krishna, it's not that they will neglect sadhana. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was a pure devotee, he was always thinking of Krishna. But every single day he was up, isn't it? Even when yesterday we were talking about Kumbh Mela, when Prabhupada went to Kumbh Mela, if you go Kumbh Mela in January, very cold. Very cold. And in Kumbh Mela, there's no hot water. It's all freezing cold. So the devotees were not, you know, getting up. So Prabhupada was showing the example. He was getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and having a cold shower. And doing so to show the devotees that this is important. So what we even find is that those devotees who have love, whose mind is fixed on Krishna, they will follow sadhana to set a good example, isn't it? Just like the Goswamis of Vrindavan. What is it said of the Goswamis? Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibi kala vasani kuto. They were chanting Krishna's names, bowing down with a fixed measurement every single day. It's said that the vows of the Goswamis were like lines in a stone. You can't rub it out. They would always follow it. So yes, we should not judge anyone who seemingly may have weaker sadhana. Their mind might be fixed on Krishna. But at the same time, we can say that those who fix their mind on Krishna take their sadhana very, very seriously to set a good example like that. Hare Krishna. Shall we finish there? Unless anyone has any burning question, then we... Oh, you have a question? Okay.
Hare Krishna. In this chapter 12, text 11, it says they try to be self-situated. What exactly does that mean?
Good question. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. It's a very good question. I could... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Anyone have any thoughts on that? I could speculate an answer. But It's a very good question. Any thoughts, anyone? Try to be self-situated.
Maybe you can check on the Sanskrit word.
Yata Atmavan.
Atmavan.
Mm.
Become an Atmavan. Self-realized, self-situated.
But this seems to be talking about someone who doesn't really have spiritual consciousness, because they're not able to follow regulations of bhakti, or they're not able to work for Krishna. This verse is saying someone should just try to do some charity work. So what does it mean to do charity work and be self-situated?
Would that person know that he's not this body?
Could be. It's just that the way this verse describes it is, it almost seems like one who doesn't necessarily have much spiritual consciousness, because it's saying just do charity work so you can elevate yourself. So then to say that such a person should be self-situated in knowledge of the spirit, it doesn't
fit.
It doesn't fit, isn't it?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
I think the one there is try. Like,
try to be self-situated.
Yeah. Maybe try to be very Brahmanastha.
Yeah. Did you have any reflection on it, Prabhu?
No.
It's a good question.
Just give charity.
Self-situated. Yeah, I can't think of the only thing that comes to my mind in terms of being self-situated is doing it regularly, doing it with determination, doing it with dedication. That's what comes to my mind. Like, not that you should just do charity whimsically, but you should do it and be self-situated, like give your heart to it and try to do it regularly in a committed way. And then from that will come detachment. That's the immediate thing that came to my mind, but I don't have any
I think it should be like that. That's the way.
Yeah. I mean, what I understand by being self-situated is that you understand this is something I should do as part of my contribution. It's a commitment. I'm dedicated to it. I honor this. I don't just do it like a whimsical thing. You try to be regulated in that. That's what comes to mind. But if I get any other realizations, I'll let you know. Yeah, Brian has the answer.
I think, like Maharaj said, you see, he's saying self, not the body, but self.
The soul.
So I think it's more like maintaining the awareness that you are not the body, so the soul, you are the soul,
mm-hmm.
not creating attachment, because most of the attachment will come from the body or the mind. So the self is most probably not going to have attachments. So if you are situated in the self, you are free of attachments.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you can go to the next stage.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it refers to knowledge of the self,
yeah.
being situated in knowledge of the self. I'll check the commentary later on, that could be true. We could check the commentaries and see. Let you know. You get the prize for the hardest question today. Should we finish there?
You should give a word of your wisdom to struggling devotees like us. Something.
Struggling, oh my god, join the club. We're all struggling.
Some words of inspiration.
We're all struggling. Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Durgame Patimendasya Skalat Pada Gatir Muhu Svakripa Yastidane Na Shanta Shantva Valambanam. Kaviraj Goswami, he says, my path is very difficult and I'm slipping again and again. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is holding me up. So, I mean, for me, the only solace is living with devotees. Is sometimes, you know, like they say, in English language they say, women, you can't live with them, you can't live without them. That's in the material world they say that. So sometimes I think devotees, you can't live with them, you can't live without them. Sometimes it's so difficult to live with devotees, so many. One time we were in the manor and we were in the Brahmachari ashram, and one sannyasi was giving a class and he said, look around. And he said, if you weren't a devotee, would you be friends with any of these people? He looked around, you know. So, nah, I wouldn't hang around with any of them. You know? So we're so different, isn't it? We're so different culturally. But we're all living together. And it's not always easy. But it's the saving grace. Vaishnava, what does Narottam say? Tadera charane sevi bhakta sanivas, janame janame hoy ei abhilas. To live with the devotees, that's my only desire, life after life. So everyone here has such an opportunity to live with the devotees, whatever problems there may be. Can't live without the devotees, you know. So I think that's the saving grace in all the struggles. We are carrying each other, isn't it? We carry each other. It's a great, great boon. That's what's carrying me. So that's what I will offer. Govinda Prem will give the final word to the struggling devotees.
I can't speak when I'm the lowest. The lowest can't speak. They only hear.
You should give us, Mataji. You are the senior most.
Just senior in number of years, not in spirituality. But when you mentioned about the manor and the campaign, it was nostalgic for me because I was there with the Khandini Prabhu the whole time fighting the campaign. So that was my very good period of intense service for Krishna. Mm.
You have touched the hearts of all the devotees, clearly. It's interesting, last week I was telling Mataji, I was in Mayapur, and when I told Shivram Maharaj I was coming to Kenya, then the first thing he mentioned was Manasi Ganga Mataji. And yesterday I was on a call, we were doing a program in Oxford, and Radhika Raman Prabhu was on the call. And when I told, and I said in front of everyone, I'm in Kenya, the first person he mentioned was you. Because he said you mentored and cared for his good wife, I don't know her name. Amrita, yeah. So he said, please offer my obeisances to Manasi Ganga Mataji. So, I don't know, we're following you. So, you have all the answers. Vaishnav Seva, Vaishnav Sangha Ki, Bhagavad Gita Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki.